Yeah. I'll reset that. I'll reset that decky on a Friday.
Yeah.
And you're about to find out why. All right, so the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It is Friday, and you might be wondering, why would you reset that deck of yeah, Rome? You already did it. A couple of reasons. As you know, in radio, we tend to reset things because we reset listeners. They cycle through. Not everybody. In fact, my audience is different. And I think the data, checked out for data, I think the data would suggest that we do have people actually, you know, on any other radio program in the world, people check in and check out. You know, and we have ways to document listening time or time spent listening. And then you've got the hardcore listeners that probably turn this thing on and leave it on all day long because they can. So I understand that too. So if I'm resetting something right now that I said now, number one, if you're one of those people, then you already have heard it. However, we understand people check in and people check out. So let me quickly reset for the start of hour number two for people who are just joining us right now. The Decca, yeah, it's Friday. We do this on Fridays. Like, yeah, it's Friday. You did it. You made it to the weekend. I've never been a guy who goes weekend to weekend, check to check, punching the clock. I love it. I love all days. But I understand that. You know, for instance, I went to a Starbucks before work yesterday, and there's a gal there who's worked there for a long time. Great gal. Love her attitude. Love her work ethic. She's super. She's super. I see her yesterday, and she looks at me, and she's like, "You want your usual?" I said, "Yes." She goes, "It's Thursday. We're almost there. It's almost Friday." So I understand that. I get it. So for the third time, let me give you a deck of yeah. It's Friday. Yeah. A lot of people happy about Friday. And that's why I've always done that. And I'm repeating it because we are adding new listeners. And let me give you one more reason why I'm giving you a deck of yeah on this Friday. Because for me, it is a getaway Friday. Yeah, yes, I said it.
Yeah.
As a programming note, I will be taking the next 2 weeks off.
2 weeks!
Bring it, clones. At me. Hit me. At Jim Rome. I'm here for it. Hey, don't say I didn't tell you.
2 weeks!
Yeah, I know. Are you kidding me, Rome? Are you bleeping kidding me? You're taking 2 more weeks. I am. And I'm not even going to insult you or pour salt into the wound. Hey, by the way, maybe it's not even a wound. Maybe you're happy. Good, Rome. We just had 2 weeks of you. You should take 2 weeks off. Great. I am not going to pour salt into the wound and say, why am I doing that? The same reason anybody does anything, because they can. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the reason I'm doing it, the reason I take so much vacation is because I get so much vacation. And if I don't take it and I don't use it, I lose it. Let's do the math. I just went 6 months without any time off. I have to get the vacation time in. So yes, I took 2 weeks off and then I worked 2 weeks and now I'm taking 2 more weeks. Hey man, good work if you can get it. Have I not been awesome for the past 2 weeks? Give me that, man. Give me some bleeping credit. I wonder if I can set that thing up. 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. If I did that, man, every 2 weeks on would be amazing. But you know what, though? It's my job to be amazing for the other 48 weeks, 46 weeks. Hey, if we're up to me, 30 weeks. Just kidding. So let me get that in. That's, I think I'll take one more deck of yeah. You know what, clones? You know, you have my word. I know for some of you that's kind of insulting. And if you really like me in the show, a kick in the junk. So here's what I have to give you in exchange. You give me those 2 weeks without bleeping me up, and I will give you 2 great hours right now. How's that sound? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, clones. During this pandemic, I just worked 5 days in a row, 2 days in a row. Am I not due 2 weeks off? Did I not work 5 consecutive days this week? Did I not work 5 consecutive days last week? That's what I thought. See you in 2 weeks. Let me tell you something. Not only should you not be bleeping me, not only should you not be adding me, you should be Cal Ripkening me. Because I just worked 10 days in a row. Well, 10 shows in a row.
Thank you!
...1-800-636-8686. Yeah, I'm here for it, man. Come and get me. Sorry that over a 30-year period in my life, I have negotiated this much vacation time. Let's see what the reaction is. Ray in SA is the first one through. In all caps. 2 more freaking weeks.
2 weeks.
Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. And you know what's amazing to me? Y'all have no trouble finding my Twitter address after I announce I'm taking vacation time. You got no problem finding me then. Kyle Paramore tweets, "The only person working less than you is Narkbra." Now, there's a lot of people working less than me.
Brah.
Kyle Brah. I'll tell you something else, too. It's not like I'm not giving you something in return. You're going to get some really fresh selfies of me and my orange sunglasses looking over the lake. So don't act like you're not getting something from me. Last time I was in Wisconsin, this older guy stops me in a market and he goes, "Hey, Rome." I'm like, "Hey, you, whoever you are." He's like, "You know how I know it's you?" I'm thinking, I don't know, goatee. You heard me talking to my wife. He's like, "Those glasses, man. I saw your sunglasses." Let's see. At 512 Lumber, "I think something is wrong with my radio. It is replaying that episode where Rome is announcing his 2 week vacation." No, this is live. This is live. This is not Memorex. This is not a replay. I must do a game here. I want to prove to you it's live. This is me live. Look at me.
Live.
Ask me a real question in real time and I will answer it. This is live. That's a real thing.
Live.
I took 2 weeks. I worked 2 weeks and I'm going to take 2 more weeks. D-Rod 2203 is in. I bet he's got my back. Let's see. WTF Jimmy. What do you mean WTF? I just explained what it is. Mike D for 3 tweets, "Good plan to take 2 weeks off. It's not like sports have restarted or anything." Touche. Let me tell you something, boom. Let me tell you something, boom. I did freaking 6 months when there was no sports. How'd you get through it? This guy. This guy. This is fun, man. Keep them coming. At Jim Rome. Get your crayon out. I'll spell it for you. At is the little A with the circle around it. J-I-M-R-O-M-E. Am I going too fast for you? Circle around the A. Tommy from NC quotes, "Yeah, yeah, 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 yeah." Signed, "Hawk, when Rome goes on vacation again." All right, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting it back. Stephen Crowtown's in. "What are you taking a vacation from? Vacationing?" Hey, look, I admit it's kind of weird. I admit it's kind of weird. I'm even saying it's kind of weird for me. Like, I took 2 weeks and I went to Wisconsin, of all places. And, man, I got my fill. I got my fill. It felt great. It was a long break, and I got a lot of the lake life. It felt great. I got to admit to you, it does feel a little bit weird to be going away again. Except for me, to get that vacation in, I got to get it in. I got to take it. And I'd rather just do it in lumps like that. This is why I went 6 straight months without a day off. So I could get a 2-week block and a 2-week block as opposed to a week, a week, a week, a week, a week. No. Landon tweets, holy hell, just take the rest of the year off. It must be nice. Hey, Landon, man, don't push me, bro. I might. No, I won't. I'm not taking the rest of the year off. And it is nice. Look, let me tell you something. We all get what we negotiate for. All right? You want to hate? We all get what we negotiate for. I want you to understand this. And by the way, if I'm being really transparent, I've gotten my ass kicked in most negotiations of late. However, I'm holding on to that vacation. And do you know why that is? Because that was collectively bargained between me and the various companies that I work for over a 30-year period. We all get what we negotiate for. We're all worth what the market says we're worth. So you can look at me and say, hey, must be nice. And I'm going to own it. It is. It is. But I work for that, and I negotiated that. You do the same thing, Landon. You can. It's out there. Go get it. Stucknut, this explains why you wanted to take the call from the Peloton delivery guy the other day. True. That is true. That is true. You're on to me. Let's see. At Wooden Laconic, when you are taking selfies in Wisco for your IG account, make sure your hat is forwards and your shirt is tucked in. Show some respect. Keep it classy. Signed, Adam Hawk. What? A clone who is close to me just wanted me to know that there's been no sound for a while. Hopefully nobody is censoring me at this point. I don't know. Dear Jim, you work for 2 weeks, and now you're already done working? Respect. Signed, IKEA Desks. Brett in Bugaha, Lake Show Honk. Okay. Are we done? Or is there more coming? Yeah, me too. Adam. Me too. All right, here's what I'm going to do. All right, and now another noted person close to me says the sound is back. Not really sure what's going on. Oh, yeah. Hopefully somebody didn't get upset with that. Maybe somebody who matters more than you clones is not happy with me. Somebody might want to look into the... I'm going to throw it back. I don't know if you're familiar with this, Adam, even being the radio honk that you are. Somebody might want to check the patch bay. Dude, have you ever seen a patch bay? Do you know what that is? Something happened, man. Things are getting really eerie and creepy here. No joke, I'm not playing. I don't know what that is. If the sound dropped momentarily, I'm not aware of why. All right, let's take a short time out. When we come back. All right, again. I want to say I'm sorry for this, honestly. But to quote the notorious one, I am sorry for absolutely nothing. I'd like to take this chance to apologize. But I do appreciate you, clones. And by the way, if you weren't pissed, that would not be a good thing. If I were to tell you I was going away for 2 weeks and the reaction was, all right, good. We won't even know you're gone. Well, you don't even need to tell us, Rome, because we won't even know when you're not there. So I appreciate that. I appreciate the hate, and I appreciate you telling me it must be nice. Man, I appreciate everything. When we come back, we'll talk some hockey. Pierre McGuire joins me. Uh-oh. I'm looking at something right now on my call screen okay, how about this? If you're upset that I'm taking 2 weeks off, you're really not going to like what I have right here. Stay tuned. Wait for it. Pierre McGuire is next. and then your phone calls. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I am live. This is not a re-air or a replay. I am in Southern California. And we are covering a lot of ground today. Let me change up. New sport, new topic. We're going to talk some hockey. And if we're going to talk some hockey, there's a real good chance I am going to talk hockey with an NBC hockey analyst. He was a scout and an assistant coach with the Penguins and part of the organization's back-to-back Stanley Cups. He also spent time with the Whalers and Senators organizations. He is a Sports Emmy Award winner. He was named as a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame Selection Committee in 2018. He's a good friend of ours and the program. He is Pierre Maguire. Pierre, it's so good to have you back. You are now in Edmonton, and you had been in quarantine in Montreal prior to arriving in Edmonton. So, Pierre, how long were you in quarantine in Montreal? And then what was the arrival like in Edmonton and entering that bubble, my friend?
First of all, Jim, it's awesome to talk with you from quarantine here in Edmonton. I was in actually northern Quebec for 14 days. I have a home up there. It's where my brothers and my sister and I grew up, about 100 miles north of Montreal, which was fine. It was great to be there. Couldn't see any friends, couldn't see any family, just had to quarantine with my wife and son. That was it. And then I went to the airport in Montreal this past Monday on the 27th. Flew to Edmonton 4.5 hours. I'd never done a flight that long without any service in the plane and wearing a mask the whole time, Jim, to be honest. Landed in Edmonton, got in a particular car service that the NHL and NBC requires you to take because of how they sanitize the car. Came to the hotel, checked in, had my temperature taken, and I've been in quarantine since Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock Mountain Time.
The new norm. Pierre Maguire joining us. So, Pierre, what's your sense as to what the players make of the two bubbles and how they're adapting to life inside of it?
I think really well, Jim. I haven't been able to talk to anybody face-to-face, obviously, because I'm still in my room in quarantine, but I've done a lot of texting and some calling, and so far, so good. I think the biggest adjustment for the players is going to be being tested every day, obviously, for the COVID virus, and that's something I've been doing here as well every morning, Jim. And I have to pass 4 straight COVID tests before I can actually go to work. So I had my 4th one today at 7:10. But all the players get tested every day on their way into the rink. So I think that's going to be a bit of a chore as we go along here for the players. But I think the biggest adjustment, Jim, will be playing without fans in the building. I've heard from some of the players saying it's really different. It's really unique. They're not used to not having crowd noise. So I think that's the one adjustment they're going to have to make as they go along here.
Yeah. Also, Pierre Maguire, my guest, I would imagine, Pierre, especially in terms of playoff hockey, because the fans are such an enormous part of playoff hockey. Like, overall, based on what you've seen in the preseason games, Pierre, what are you expecting in terms of the quality of play and the intensity right out of the gate?
I think the intensity levels will be really high because the margin for error, especially in the qualifying games where it's 3 out of 5, not 4 out of 7, the momentum in the series, if you get behind the 8 ball pretty quick, Jim, will be a problem for the team that falls behind. So the intensity levels will be really high. I'm wondering about the goaltending as we go along, just to adapt to that kind of intensity and the pace with the shots coming at them, and also with the crease traffic. That's a big adjustment for the goaltenders. So we'll see how they hold up. The caliber of play, I think, will be a little dicey to start. And as you go along over the course of a 60-minute game, I think it will get more enhanced and better as you go along over the course of a game.
Pierre, you and I have done this a long time because you're answering questions before I can even ask them. I was going to ask you about the goaltending, like you touched on that. But when you look at the goaltending and when you think about how to evaluate that play, who are the best prepared to be playing in crucial games right now? Like, what kind of an impact could that long layoff have on the goaltenders in particular?
You know, that's such a good question, Jim, because I think the biggest thing is dealing with crease traffic. So if you're a bit of an undersized goalie, I think that's going to be a problem for you. I think if you're a bigger guy, and I think of Andre Vasilevsky, who's just a gigantic human being who plays for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think about Connor Hellebuck, who plays for the Winnipeg Jets, Pekka Rinne, who plays for the Nashville Predators. The bigger guys, I think, Jim, will be able to get through this a little bit quicker than some of the smaller guys. And when I say smaller, I'm talking about guys that are 6'1", 185 pounds. They're considered small guys now. That used to be a huge goalie. Now the big guys are 6'4", to 6'6". So those guys, I think, will have an easier time getting used to it than the smaller guys, Jim.
We're talking hockey with Pierre McGuire, and it's fun. Pierre, the teams that are seeded 5th through 12th are jumping right into a 5-game series. When you talk about a sense of urgency, how critical is it to win the first game of that series?
I think really important, especially because of the pod system that you were alluding to before. The trials and tribulations, Jim, for all the players that are in these two pods, one in Toronto, one in Edmonton, it makes it a little bit more of a unique environment and a little bit different. And I think if you fall behind in a series quickly and it's a demoralizing first loss, let's say you lose 5 or 6 to 1 or you lose 7-0, I know it doesn't matter what the score is, but you can get demoralized pretty quick. So it's really important that you stay tight in every game and you stay tight in the series. If you go down 2 games to none in a series, I don't think you have any chance of coming back in 3 out of 5.
So, Pierre, what about the top 4 seeds in a round-robin tournament to determine their seeding for the next round? For instance, how do you think those teams approach the round-robin games? Are they going to go all out because they want that higher seed, or maybe are they more focused on getting into a rhythm and staying healthy?
Oh, man, I love the way you phrase that, Jim. Getting into a rhythm and figuring out where they are as a group. There'll be intensity, no question about it. There will be intensity. But it won't be as intense, I don't believe, just because you want to save your roster for when the games really count. You're already moving on into the playoff system. The qualifiers are in a bit of a different pool, obviously. So I think you're going to see teams trying to establish a rhythm, those top 4 seeded teams that you're alluding to, Jim. And then they will find a way to get ready. They'll be more battle-ready and probably more invigorated than the teams that had to go through the qualification period.
We're talking to Pierre McGuire. So, Pierre, what about, for instance, the matchup between Chicago and Edmonton? You've got 9 players on the Chicago roster without any playoff experience. How significant is that, and how much of an edge would that give Edmonton?
It's pretty significant, but the one thing I'd say in Chicago's defense, Jonathan Toews and his 3 Stanley Cups and his 1 World Junior Gold and his 2 Olympic goals really matter for Chicago. Patrick Kane with his wealth of experience, and Duncan Keith with his 3 Stanley Cups, and Corey Crawford with his 2 Stanley Cups. Chicago's got some internal depth in terms of playoff experience that Edmonton does not have. So that's going to help soothe the sails a little bit for some of those younger players you were alluding to from the Blackhawks. The problem for Chicago is going to be containing the quick strike offensive capabilities of the Edmonton Oilers. They got the 2 leading scorers in the league in Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, the most explosive player in the league, I think, in Connor McDavid. You've got one of the best coaches in the league in Dave Tippett for Edmonton with a wealth of experience. So Chicago's got some other battles they're going to have to get through. This is not a perfect matchup for the Chicago Blackhawks at all.
We're talking to Pierre McGuire. So, Pierre, in Edmonton, you're going to cover the Western Conference games. How do you see the conference stacking up top to bottom?
Colorado's really good, Jim. And, you know, I talked about Connor McDavid and how explosive he is. Nathan McKinnon's not too far behind. He's an outstanding player. Cale Makar is one of the best young defensemen we have in the National Hockey League right now, a young man out of the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. They've got firepower in Colorado. They've got big bodies on defense. They've got adequate and good goaltending. I wouldn't say superstar goaltending. I'd say adequate to good goaltending. And I think they're a team that's going to cause a lot of problems. So I look at Colorado. I look at Vegas. Vegas is another team 2 years removed from going to a Stanley Cup final. They've got tremendous firepower and a new coach in Peter DeBoer that really likes to stress structure in all 3 zones, and I think you're seeing that from Vegas. They did a good job last night in a pre-tournament game that they won up here in Edmonton. So I'd say those are 2 of the better teams, and then don't discount St. Louis, Jim. I mean, they're the defending Stanley Cup champions for a reason, and they're big on defense. They're mobile up front. They're 4 lines deep. They're a whole lot of nasty to play against, Jim. So you can kind of see teams sorting it out, but I would say those are 3 of the better teams in the Western Conference right now, in Colorado, in St. Louis and Vegas. I think those are 3 of the better teams.
Pierre McGuire breaking it all down. We've got a few more moments with him. You know, Pierre, I had a chance to talk to Golden Knights GM Kelly McCrimmon on the program earlier this month. He seemed really pleased with the physical shape of the players, and he attributed that to the fact that a lot of guys stayed around Vegas. Overall, what is your sense as to the conditioning the guys were doing during the hiatus? Did they stay in shape, or were some guys needing to get into shape when they restarted camp?
I think most of the players stayed in really good cardiovascular shape. It's really hard, though, to mimic getting hit and pounded into the glass.
Right.
And so that takes it's a different kind of a conditioning level. So some of the guys, and there were a bunch of Europeans that went back home, especially the Finns and the Swedes and the Czechs. They went back home, a lot of them, and they were able to skate because there was no restrictions on what they could do in public places, whereas we had a lot of restrictions here in North America, both in Canada and the United States. But I would say most of the players, I would say over 90% of the players maintained really good, solid physical conditioning.
And Peter, one last thought. You mentioned what it's like, the process that you personally have to go through just to go to work, what quarantine has been like and the like. The games do return tomorrow with a 5-game schedule on the NBC family of networks. So when it comes to the actual game itself, how different will your broadcast experience be in the bubble versus what it's been like in the past?
Well, first of all, I won't be between the benches in Edmonton just because the space is too small. And so I'm going to be sitting right behind one of the benches, and it's going to be almost as if I'm on the bench, which I did once before during the entire playoff run in 2007 when I was on the Anaheim Ducks bench during the entire playoffs because of their great general manager at the time, Brian Burke, allowing me to do it because they didn't have a spot to work between the benches. So it'll be similar to the 07 final for me. I'll be working tomorrow with Doc Emmerich, who will be at his home in Port Huron, Michigan, and Eddie Olchek will be in the NBC studio in Stamford, Connecticut. I'm not sure there's ever been a national broadcast where you've had three broadcasters working, but all three in different area codes and all three in different time zones. So it's going to be a little bit different that way. But I'll leave that up to the professionals in the truck. But I'm looking forward to it, Jim. It's obviously been a huge long pause, and I think the fans are really clamoring for a lot of hockey to come back on television.
No doubt. One last thought. Because you've been a coach, and we talk so much about the players, if I could ask you about the coaches, you've been a coach. What kind of a challenge is this for the coaches? What is your sense as to how the coaches are going to approach the challenge?
They got to be able to pull the trigger pretty quick in terms of if things aren't going right for them. They have to make adjustments on the fly very quickly. It's not just going to be about the head coach. This hockey, it's going to be about the assistant coaches identifying the need to change trends really quickly, Jim. So I'll use an example from last year's playoffs. In game number one between Tampa and Columbus, Columbus was down 3-0 after the first period. John Tortorella knew if he got blown out in that game, chances were he was going to get blown out in the series. He made three key adjustments. He turned his forecheck very aggressive. From being passive, they went very aggressive. He allowed his defenseman to jump into the rush rather than staying back. And then he told his defenseman, I want you pinching down all the time in the offensive zone. They made those three adjustments. They won game one. They never lost a game in the series. And it's a perfect example of how you need to coach in this Stanley Cup playoff this year, especially in the qualifying round in the 3 out of 5. Because if you don't, chances are you're going to get knocked out pretty early.
Now you know, breaking it all down expertly as always. An NBC hockey analyst, he is Pierre McGuire. Pierre, it's great to hear your voice. It's great to get caught up with you. Hopefully we drop the pucks quickly and we can stay after it. It has been missed.
It's a pleasure being with you, Jim. Thank you so much, and thanks for caring about the game. I know you do, and you're an unbelievable fan. Thank you, Jim.
You got it, Pierre. Thank you. Appreciate you. Pierre McGuire, I don't know if I'm unbelievable, but I am a fan, and I do care about the game, and always have. I love, love hockey. Love it. You know what I love, man? I love range. I love depth. You're going to get hockey on this show, and not just hockey. You're going to get intelligent hockey talk. You're going to get MMA on this show, and not just MMA, but intelligent MMA talk and access. This is a big Pierre McGuire house. All right. Now we're halfway through it. And yes, I did say it. It was not like something you thought you heard or a re-air or a bad dream. And maybe it's the best news of the day for you. I'm taking 2 weeks off. This is my last show for 2 weeks. Hey, the good news is, once I've done that, man, I'm pretty well set until the end of the year, right? 1-800-636-8686. One more interview still ahead. Daniel Bard, Rocky starting pitcher. That's coming up at 11:20 Pacific, 2:20 Eastern. Want to talk some golf? All right, so I'm flexing a little bit. Baseball, basketball, hockey, golf. I want to talk about Bryson DeChambeau. The mad scientist is at it again. And I've got a couple of other jungle announcements that I would like to share. One from a listener. One involving our podcast and more. Here is your bottom of the hour sports update. Here is my man, Rich Ackerman.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
My thanks to Pierre McGuire. He's tremendous. I love how much he loves it. And great to talk some hockey. All right, so really quickly, I've got some reaction to some of the things we've covered already, and I want to throw another topic out there. 1-800-636-8686. And yes, I'm taking the next 2 weeks off. In response to that, Bill Ratka is in. Ratka tweets, looks like Adam Hawk is mailing it in for the next 2 weeks. This is also a thread. Remember the last time I talked Adam Hawk off my last two-week vacation, he said, hey, look, I got to be honest, boss. You know, when you're not, he said, I probably shouldn't say this, but when you're not here, a little bit of the edge is off. It's off all of us. Just saying. And I had to remind Hawk, man, be a professional. I don't care who's here. I understand that maybe there's a little more at stake when your boss is here, man. But be a professional. Show up with the same intensity every single day because they're not paying any less. Like if I were to say to you, all right, so some of the edge is off, that's fine. Some of your paycheck is off, Hawk. If you're going to bring 70% to it, how about we just pay you 70%? That's what I thought. So you're back on that. Hitman Canadian tweets, 2 more weeks to slack off. Can't wait. Signed, Hawk. Shady Sean 420 tweets, good news for Adam Hawk. You only have to give it 50 for the next 2 weeks. Matt in Michigan is on the thread. 2 more weeks of Adam Hawk slacking off while dad is out of town. Pizza Slayer tweets, time to put my feet up for 2 weeks. Signed, Hawk. Carlitos Way 505 tweets, well, you know Hawk is pumped. He can slack off 2 more weeks. I think he's learned his lesson. I hope he has. Remember that time Hawk went to Super Bowl and went out one night and woke up and he had no mustache the next morning? Freaking Hawk. Damn, what happened to my porn stash? I know I left it here somewhere. Okay, 1-800-636-8686. I could roll out with a long form take right here. But we're in the middle of a segment. I've got Daniel Bard coming up next hour. Alvy's week that was next hour. You know, it has been the year of the bra. And as part of the year of the bra, I mentioned yesterday that Tito Ortiz is going to run for Huntington Beach City Council. I mentioned that there were 3 seats open. So Tito's got a chance. And we've seen Tito's act. We've seen Tito in the cage. We've seen him outside of the cage. We heard that famous exchange. In fact, Alvin, if you don't mind, can you pull that up? I mentioned that if Tito were to win, there's a certain decorum that comes along with being a city official, a public official. And when you live that life, you know, that life inside of the octagon and even outside of it, there's a certain lifestyle and a certain way you approach things. Like I've talked to a lot of NFLers about this. The first guy that ever said this to me and explained it to me like this was Howie Long. Howie Long explained to me, you know, for a long time, Jim, that if I had an issue with somebody, I could just get on the field and handle that issue. But then when I stopped playing the game, and if I had an issue off of the field, it was not quite that easy. Like, so I wonder about Tito. Like, for instance, Tito had an issue with Chael Sonnen, and the two of them went back and forth, and it sounded like this.
Tito, go ahead. Tell him what I do so well.
Well, he talks well. His mouth has gotten him every fight, big fight that he's had.
Tito always says I'm using my mouth to get my opportunities. The only person I know that made money using their mouth is his ex-wife.
Well, just to correct you, I was never no marriage. You're a f- punk, dude. That's what you call class right here compared to no class.
That was a nasty line.
No class. No class at all. No class.
They don't call you the bad guy for nothing.
A bad girl.
That will never not be funny to me. How about Chael? When Chael dropped that line on him, it's one thing to drop that line, but to drop that particular line on that particular guy, and you hear that collective gasp of the people in attendance, and then Chael just could not wait to style that. Like, yeah, man. How about that? That was a nasty line by me. So I reset that yesterday because Tito is going to run for city council. And I said the only thing better than that would be silk bra. Could you imagine the back and forth between the two of those guys? Politically at different spectrums. They both represent Huntington Beach. They both love Huntington Beach. And then I did a whole take on that and what that would look like and what that would feel like. And it was just another portion of the year of the bra. Must have worked its way back to him. Somehow, some way, Silk found out that it was once again about him. So he's back for more. And I can't wait to hear what he has to say. We go to Huntington Beach. We go to the bra. It is the year of the bra. Silk bra, what's up?
Oh, not much, bro. How you doing, bro?
Dude, did you ever think that after being on this show and listening to this show and participating in this show for two decades, you would, in fact, in this the weirdest year ever, would end up in the year of the bra?
No, bro. When we were at the Blossom Music Center in Cleveland, and I was out of my mind. I was like in my early 20s. I think you were holding a press conference. I think I answered a question for you, bro. I apologize for that, bro. But yeah, I never would have thought this, bro. It's crazy.
All right. So first of all, great reset on the Blossom, man. There were some gigantic mosquitoes that night out in the woods in Cleveland. All right. So what's going on? What's the latest?
Well, first, don't worry about the clones, bro. You know, they're cracking on you for vacation. The clones often hate on people who live a certain lifestyle, so forget about that. And clones back away from IKEA. It's a great Swedish company. Back in the day, I bought this table called a Jokkmokk. It lasted a good 3.5 years. It was awesome. Yesterday was a great day, bro. The Lakers, gritty win. Dodgers win again. I love your McCullers take, bro. He says, you talk trash on a batter, you should be suspended. If that's true, Lima time would have never had a start. But lost in all this Joe Kelly sauce is that beautiful two-game sweep of the cheating kooks in Houston. I'm loving the Dodgers bullpen, which hasn't been a strength in the last few years, but they're looking really good. Let's hope the Manfred, although I don't have a lot of hope, that he can get this thing together. Now, the whole thing about Tito, yeah, it's not a surprise that his announcement broke on TMZ. I'm just going to leave that there. I don't want to go low. But, of course, if your boy Silk Bra was going to run, you know he'd announce it on the worldwide greatest sports talk show ever, and that's the Jim Rome Show. So here's what I'll say. I can't technically say I am running because there's some paperwork to finish up and stuff. Shout out to our great city clerk, Robin Stanislaus. He has been an advocate for me, and luckily I live a block away from City Hall, so my commute won't be long. I can just walk. But, yeah, I'm running around today doing some legwork. I can't say for sure. I can't say I know Tito, but in Huntington Beach with me, it's not 6 degrees of separation. It's like 1 degree. So I know we'll be crossing paths pretty soon at some forums and things. So technically, I am not official because they haven't pulled my papers yet. That'll happen next week when you're on vacation. So I wanted to get this in, brah. Your boy Silk Bra is going to be running for one of the three open seats on the city council. I got my first three signatures today from mom, dad, and my sister who are watching on the great CBS Sports Network right now. So shout out to the Silk fam. And yeah, brah, it's going to be premium content all the way through November, brah.
Dude, really sincerely, I want to ask you this question, man. Is it the proverbial pub grab or Silk? Are you serious about this? And if, in fact, I throw everything I have behind it, because I'm thinking about it, if you get in, will you do it? Can you deliver? Can you execute? Is this a serious thing or just a troll and a pub grab?
Rome, it is a pub grab for Tito, probably, but for your boy Silk, brah. As an educator, I was born in Orange. Parents raised me from 0 to 2 in Santa Ana, and then they moved here in 72. I've been here my whole entire life. I love this city. I think there's more that unites us than divides us. There's a lot of issues important to HB residents. I have deep roots in the community. My friends do. Not all my friends agree with me, brah, but it's all about the city of Huntington Beach and being the best for all the residents of Huntington Beach and for the future. We got a power plant we got to knock down. We got some empty Superfund land over here. There's tons of issues. It's not a national thing. It's a Huntington Beach thing. But, brah, you know I'm in it to win it. When you get back from vacation, I'll have some more information about maybe my super PAC, my communications director, my campaign manager, brah. That's going to be happening, so it's a quick race. But, yeah, I'm in it to win it, bro.
Dude, I'm in. All right, Silk, stay strong. Keep me posted. The Bra made it official. He's running for Huntington Beach City Council. I got you, bro. I can get behind that. In fact, I will get behind that. You have my support. Your reaction, Silk. Man, I want that guy to be on the city council so badly. Stay tuned.